ear, piece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd Up!
It's time for another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with
Isaac Wilson.
And we're here to talk nerdy to you. We've got a bunch of great stuff. Now, we're doing some things around the holidays, a little bit different, so you're going to have some different shows. We've got the guys going to be contributing, and their audio will be separate. And hopefully after the holidays, we can get back together again and, you know, do some real snarking, as the Tims like to do. Like, we were talking about the Star Wars trailer that has a lot of people, you know, just
the Jesus cross lightsaber.
I know, how about that? And people just go, you know, loving it. Well, guess what? The Tims aren't. So,
well, I mean, it's kind of a love-hate relationship with everyone, because there are some people who love it because it's Star Wars, some people who hate it because it's new Star Wars.
I've never really been that huge of a fan of Star Wars. Star Wars has always been, yeah, it's good. I enjoyed the first three. Then the prequels came out, and I'm like, everybody was all upset because a lot of people were upset because of how it kind of ruined Star Wars. And I was like, well, I don't care, because I didn't really... wasn't that involved in it, wasn't that sucked into the Star Wars world. I don't know, it just didn't bother me, but wait till you hear what the Tims have to say. They've already been expressing their opinions and views.
I wasn't much of a Star Wars fan. Like, I went to a friend's house and spent the night one time, and I think while we were doing the sleepover thing, while we were all, like, getting ready for sleeping, his dad put the Star Wars movies on, like, as a marathon. I just wasn't that excited. It was okay.
Did he put them in order, like, from the original three to the remakes, or rather the prequels, or did he put them all in order from the number one?
I don't know. No? I didn't pay much attention. Oh. The only part that I remember distinctly was whenever I was almost falling asleep, and it was the part where Luke was in the ice cave.
Oh, okay.
And he cuts that giant monster's arm off.
Again, the first three, which was episodes 4, 5, and 6, were really good. I enjoyed those.
Weren't those the three that had Jar Jar Binks in them?
No, Jar Jar Binks was in the horrible prequels, so that's that's why that makes them even worse. All right, well, let's see here. What do we got to talk about today? We got some video games to talk about, especially the Smash Brothers with the introduction of the Amiibos. Or amoebas, or what is it? They're gelatinous, and they involve...
They are non-existent.
So, anyway.
Like, I have to get them under a microscope for them to work.
Well, yeah, I imagine that. It's always weird working with amoebas. Anyway, so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about, let's see here, a couple movies. Some not-so-nerdy movies, but they're kind of fun. You might want to check that out. And I got a nerdy book, or audio book, or actually it's an audio production if you really want to get down to it, to talk about later on. So let's just get started with it. First off, let's talk about NerdCon 2014. That's right, December 20th. You got your cosplay ready?
Slightly.
He's been working hard and heavy on it, painting and getting it ready. You want to tell the people who you're going as?
I don't want to, but I can... I think I've got the character down pretty well. Yeah, he's not emo, so no, that wouldn't work as well. Let me think. I gotta think of how to get the character down, because cosplay is not about just the costume, it's about the character, too. Well, a notable example is Brady Hall.
Yeah, he's got his character perfect. Well, he's also emceeing the cosplay contest.
Yes.
He'll be, at least last I heard, I'm hoping he, doesn't back out on me. I got a cryptic message from him that said, Gil, I need to talk to you about the cosplay contest. And then I said, okay. And then never heard word back from again. So I'm like, oh no, what's this mean? into he the died. World. So we'll see what happens. I'll go, well, I know you can't probably do the Australian accent right now, but tell the people who you're going to be.
Wait, Slade Wilson has an Australian accent?
Well, he did in the Arrow TV series.
Yeah, I was about to say. Sweet.
Yep, Deathstroke, right?
Deathstroke, yeah. Oh, yeah. Deathlock is from Marvel.
Or is it Deadshot?
Deadshot, that's from Marvel, I think.
No, that's one of the Suicide Squad. For DC, so.
There are too many people named Dead.
I know, maybe there's too many Deadpool. Deadpool, that's what you're going to be. But anyway, so he's going to be Deathstroke. And he's already got the helmet, he's got the guns, he's getting it together. So
more
it's gonna
or
be...
less weaponry, not guns.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because you got more than just the guns. So it's going to be an interesting cosplay. We'll be posting pictures on the Nerd Up podcast page, I'm sure.
Hey, what are you talking about, you bloody wanker? I can do a perfect Australian accent.
You're going to have to work on that, but we'll get to it. Anyway, so that's coming up December 20th. We've got all sorts of things going on. If you're a Magic the Gathering card player, this is where you need to be. There's going to be all sorts of tournaments. There's going to be I forget what they call them, but where you get basically everybody gets a pack or few cards. I forget what they call this. Man, that bugs me now. And they open them up, and they just play what they got, and the winner takes all. And it's kind of a cool way to just buy in, like buy one pack of cards, and you win like several. And there could be some rare ones in there.
Who cares? It's for nerds anyway.
That's why it's NerdCon 2014. We need a big event like that's sounding thing.
Sunday.
Exactly. No, it's actually Saturday. All day from 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. But yeah, there's going to be cosplay. They're going to be showing anime all day long whenever there's nothing going on in the cosplay stage.
Weebus.
And we're also going to be doing, apparently someone said they had a nerdy band that they wanted to perform. I'm like, that'd be cool.
Is
so
it
we'll
the
see
same nerdy band that was at Indie PopCon?
No.
The one that you yelled, "Gone!"
No, the Star Trek guys? No, yeah. Final Frontier. What is the name of it? Is that their name?
We'll find out later.
Oh, man, my brain, it's old. It just does not soak up the memory.
It's mold and oldie.
Anyway, no, it's not them. It's a local band. So that'll be kind of fun. Again, just $5 get you in for all day. Warhammer, they're going to be workshops on how to paint your figures for Warhammer and the other games that require little figures to play on the platform. Man, I'm at a loss now of everything that's going on. Darb Designs mask making will be there from Chicago. They'll be putting on also a panel, a Q&A panel about mask making. You probably want to get involved in that one. And they're the ones that created those Mortal Kombat, which are just lovely. And then what was the other? Casey Jones?
I think it was just one mask, but you could use it for multiple purposes, like Casey Jones or Mortal Kombat.
No, they had the separate Mortal Kombat ones.
The
they had
one
for each.
Dr. Doom.
Yeah, they had some that you could use for just about anything, but yeah, it was pretty interesting. One, the Casey Jones, you could use it as
Jason.
Jason, there we go. I was going to say Michael Myers, but he has a Captain Kirk mask. But you could do a Jason mask. I mean, it's a really cool deal. And plus, you know, they got cool masks. So they'll be there. I'll be there podcasting live. We'll be recording, actually. People talk about people and their nerdiness and what made some nerds, and we'll get those on the podcast. And also, I'll be selling comics. I've got a few long boxes to get rid of, so we'll be doing that. So anyway, so that's NerdCon 2014, NerdCon 2014.
Be there! Saturday.
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only use the edge. We should do these commercials. Anyway, so that's going to be Saturday, December 20th. Be there. We're going to have fun. I'm going to be dressing up really cool. I got a really cool nerdy outfit planned. I hope you're going to let me borrow your bow tie again.
Are you going to be yourself from the Nerd Up cover? Are you
almost.
Wear your fez?
Almost. I'm going to wear the fez.
Better wear the
fez. And I'll wear the bow tie and who knows what else. So that'll be December 20th.
Don't
make
sure
you your
TARDIS shirt. You got to wear the TARDIS shirt.
I got a couple different TARDIS shirts I got to figure out.
Do the rocket.
That would be good, the Rocket and Groot TARDIS shirt. Well, I don't know. He's whizzing on the TARDIS. So.
That works.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's talk about some movies. We went and saw a couple movies recently, and like I said, they're not really quite nerdy movies, but I guess a real nerd has to go see Penguins of Madagascar.
Because it has Benedict Cucumber thing. Eggs Cucumber guy.
Benedict Cumbersnatch, or what's Bandersnatch? Cumberland or so, what? Anyway, now I'm not even going to get his name right. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ben Green Cucumbers.
Yeah, and also John Malkovich, he's in this as well. Yeah, it's Penguins of Madagascar. I mean, Isaac wanted to go see this, and I did too, because of seeing the previews, it looked pretty funny. There's some funny moments in the previews, but we've been suckered into that before, where the preview looks pretty funny, and we go to the movie, and it's like, ugh.
Why haven't you have?
Yeah, I get suckered in. So, well, what was the last good, horrible movie we saw together? I guess
Tammy. Me and you?
Yeah.
Oh. Probably Devils Do.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, but you could be suckered into these things. But we went, and I'll tell you what, we had ourselves a blast. It was funny. It's an adventure of the penguins. I mean, it's really far-fetched, but Benedict Cumberbatch as the leader of this clandestine spy operation is pretty funny. But John Malkovich as the enemy is hilarious, especially his name puns. I'm trying to think. Remember the first one that he did?
The first one was Nicolas Cage Them.
Oh, yeah. Nicolas Cage Them. The rest of the movie, there were several other plays with people's names. Like two of them he referred to as Hugh, Jack, Man the Torpedoes, or whatever it was at the time. I think it was Man the Engines. I don't know.
Drew, Barry, more power.
I mean, it was just, and throughout the movie, they're just all throughout the movie, you're just hearing these things. And there are times when I looked over and Isaac just cracked up at whatever the latest one was said, and then I'd crack up, but... Yeah, it was just those little hidden gems. The adventure was just, it was kind of a silly, one of those silly movie things. But, you know, Madagascar, what do you expect?
Madagascar was funny, and the penguins were the best part.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing them get their own movie.
And it's really worth seeing. And the thing about it is, like, that's another one of those animated movies that, and that's the problem. Adults take kids to movies, like, say, for example, Cars. Mm-hmm. I, you know, just didn't like Cars.
Looking back at it, I don't either.
Yeah.
Except Mater. Mater's pretty cool.
Yeah, they had him, and he was like the good comic relief, but after all, it's Larry the Cable Guy. But still, you know, there's movies out there that just, the adults just, you know, it's like, come on, make something for us. And, well, they did with Penguins of Madagascar. There's the humor in there. It's not dirty humor. It's just humor, and it's just stuff that will...
Yeah, it's not mature humor, subtle, like, what was it? Hold on, the Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Yeah. There was some good stuff in that one. That was a good one. Huh? Yeah, so it's worth seeing. Penguins of Madagascar, and again, it's one of those that the parents will enjoy taking their kids to. They'll walk out of there going, I'm kind of glad I saw that. And actually, most parents I know will probably say, man, that was funny. Well, the other movie, the one I didn't see with Isaac, it's Horrible Bosses 2, and it was okay. Penguins of Madagascar was funnier. I will have to admit that. Horrible Bosses 2, if you like the Hangover movies, if you like the first Horrible Bosses, or the movie We're the Millers, it's they're along those same lines.
And no regrets.
What?
No regrets.
Ragrets.
The creed, the motto.
No ragrets.
Not even a single letter.
So yeah, that's kind of humor it was for this one. It was worth seeing, but I think I would prefer for that one to come out on video before I saw it. I don't know. Maybe. It was, I didn't really have to go see this, and when I got after I was done, I'm like, well, I still didn't have to, but it was still entertaining. So again, if you like those Hangover movies, the We're the Millers, or the first Horrible Bosses, you'll love it.
From what I understand, it's a movie about like bosses you don't want to have, right?
No, not really.
Oh.
Actually, you wouldn't mind having these guys as bosses because they're screw ups, but yeah, they try to become their own bosses. I don't want to give too much away about it. Well, actually, It wasn't really the storyline that kept you going. It was just the little jokes here and there throughout the movie that kept you going. It wasn't really, the plot really was kind of silly. Jamie Foxx was pretty funny in it. My favorite thing is he wanted to be in business for himself. He's a thug that they go to ask questions about how to kidnap somebody. And he's a thug that just, I mean, pure tattoos on the head and everything, you know. And he always wanted to own a Pink Berry yogurt shop. Oh, okay. He goes, I'm going to put Cap'n Crunch on those things. Oh, it's good.
Why is, what was his name again?
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, why is Jamie Foxx always the misunderstood person of every movie?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. He's good at the misunderstood. So,
Electro.
Yeah, he was misunderstood as Electro. He was misunderstood as Ray Charles. And, oh, wait. But anyway, so it's definitely funny if you like those kind. It's not one. If you don't like those kind of movies, don't bother because you're not going to probably. So, all right. So that's it for the movie section of this time around. I want to talk about books next. And again, Isaac probably will sit back because
I don't read. He doesn't. I only read for AR points.
He's only read when he's forced to by the schools, thanks to the schools forcing him to read.
Thanks, Obama.
So, but I do want to talk about this latest book, audio book I got and listened to. It's called Richmond Smokes a Joint by Larry Wiener. Yeah, right. Well,
that sounds like something that would be written by the same person who made Jay and Silent Bob.
You'd think that. And in fact, I kind of was wondering about that when I heard that title, Richmond Smokes a Joint. But this book is nothing but wordplay. Everything is wordplay. Like the ship's doctor, it's a sci-fi. And the ship's doctor is named Doc Hugh Mint. And it's like, like that's kind of silly. But then they do the little who's on first bit where the guy goes, this is our doc, Hugh Mint. I meant what? No, Hugh Mint is his name. I meant to ask you, what was his name? It was like, okay, that was kind of forced. It was kind of silly. It was in there, and I'm like, okay. And they kind of pulled it out a little bit longer than they needed to. But it's only 37 minutes long, and the audio, it's a Radio Preparatory Company of America production. And it's only 37 minutes, and it's well acted. In fact, what really attracted me to this was the fact that Patricia Tallman. Some of you may know her as Lita Alexander from Babylon 5. And she was the telepath that was placed on Babylon 5 by the PsyCorps. And, but anyway, she is the lead role. She plays Jean Richmond. And the play on words is not that she smokes a joint like, you know, like Cheech and Chong, but the fact that she, a joint being a bar, she blows it up and she, you smoked that joint. And it's like, when they finally said that at the end, I'm like, oh, okay. I had that Peter Griffin moment where, they said the name, but that's about it. I don't know. It was, like I said, just 37 minutes long, and it's got a lot of that humor, but it's also a sci-fi adventure where they have to go get this plate of, it's the mythical plate of meringue. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's going to be a Three Stooges pie fight in this thing, but there wasn't. But there's, I mean, it's all sorts of weird characters on board. It's really, if you take Barbarella, the movie Barbarella, mix it in with some Airplane, and actually, Airplane 3, the one that wasn't not quite as funny, but they really tried hard. Mix those two together, and that's kind of the story you have here, the book, audiobook you have here. It was entertaining for 37 minutes. I don't think I could have handled it any longer because my groin muscle was already pulled, so it was pretty bad. But if you want to check them out, Radio Repertory, they're on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Repertory. You can find out more of their stuff that they do. And I will probably go back and listen to some other books, especially if Patricia Tallman's in them, because, again, she was in Babylon 5, and Babylon 5's all right with me. So, but that's one book. I'm continuing my saga in the Ender's Game series. I'm on book 3, Xenocide. I just started that, and I thought, well, I'm going to finish all the books that he's written. He's only like 8 or 9 of them, so I think I can do that.
I thought you were going to say he's only 8 or 9.
Well, he's only written 8 or 9. It'd be one a year, wouldn't it? But anyway, I'm going to be checking those out here pretty darn soon. In fact, I started one of the audiobooks today. Just finished another audiobook, great one, by Jim Butcher, the latest in the Dresden Files. It's called Skin Game. And once again, your faithful wizard, Harry Dresden. He's the Winter Mantle, as some of you may know if you've been keeping up on the books. If not, spoiler! But he's like the... Oh... He's like Sir Lancelot to King Arthur. That's a good way to put it. But instead of to King Arthur, he's the Queen of Winter. He's her main guard. And so she loans him out to complete a heist. What it is, it's so funny, they're going to steal the Holy Grail from Hades' vault. And so they have to break in. And he has to team up with Nicodemus, who is a fallen Denarian, fallen angel. You know, the 30 coins of silver that were given for Jesus' betrayal. Well, they're all cursed, and whoever carries a demon with them, and it's pretty intense. You got to read these books; they're really good, Isaac. You'd love them. But anyway,
I only like religious stuff when it comes to supernatural and the Binding of Isaac.
Well, then you'd like this. Nah. You would. And so, anyway, it's so funny because there's one part where many fans of Jim Butcher's books will know Michael Carpenter. He's one of the Knights of the Cross. They all have there's these four swords that have a piece of the cross built into them, and they're all swords of faith, so to speak, and they can, you know, destroy evil entities. And there's one point where they get in a battle, and after the battle, Michael Carpenter's leg is injured. Harry Dresden looks at him and says, "Oh, hey, man, you're cut. We're going to have to get you out of here." He goes, "Oh, it's only a flesh wound." And he goes, "'Tis but a scratch." Or Dresden then repeats, well, goes on and says, "'Tis but a scratch." And Michael Carpenter looks at him, "What?" He goes, "Oh, I thought you were quoting the Holy Grail." He goes, "What?" He goes, "Monty Python and the Holy Grail, you know, because we just got the Holy Grail, and never mind." So it's quite a funny bit. But anyway, they go through, and, oh, as a spoiler I just gave there, yes, they did get the Holy Grail, but a lot more happens. So it's a good one. Jim Butcher can keep writing forever with these Dresden Files books. I'll read every single one. In fact, so far I have. We'll see what the next one holds in store, but they're just great continuing. Now, don't go by that sci-fi series of Dresden Files. They tried. They really tried, but they got it wrong. And we could have done better. But at least they have the Harry Dresden from the TV series. The guy that played him, Paul Blackthorne, I think is his name. He's now an Arrow. So at least they used him correctly. So, Jim Butcher Skin Game, I highly recommend. In fact, I would say at any of the other Dresden Files books, start with book one, because I'm telling you, they're great by themselves, but it's more fun when you go through them in series. The story just builds upon each other every book, and it's definitely worth an investment into. So now, let's see. I guess we should talk about your video games. The latest, I want to start with this one, Isaac, mainly because this is the one I no matter how many times I watch you play it, I still just do not get it. I just don't get it. It's Smash Brothers. Now, they've included a new feature, which is the Amiibos. Explain that. First of all, explain Smash Brothers a little bit, and then tell us about the Amiibos.
Well, Smash Brothers is a super awesome game, fighting style, but it's not like any other fighting game.
No.
You don't use... Well, you have the option to use, like, health, and it's called stamina. But the main battles are percentages. You hit an enemy, their percentage goes up. Once their percentage gets past, let's say, 75, you can charge an attack, and you will send them flying. The higher percentage they have, the further they go. And it's a whole bunch of Nintendo characters. That's basically the summary of...
what a Sega character.
Well... mainly video game characters, mainly Nintendo.
Yep.
Because it has Sonic and Pac-Man and Mega Man and... Yeah, that's basically the gist of how it works. So, you want me to talk about the Amiibos now,
yeah, yes. How do those work in? What's the deal with the Amiibos?
They're basically AI that can either fight alongside you or fight against you or fight against other Amiibos, etc., etc. But in what I call their training... mode, which is aka the levels before they manage to be able to beat me, is approximately level 1, I guess, through level 20, and you can kind of teach them tips and tricks on how to fight. You know, they learn how to fight really well on their own, but you can, like, let's say after killing them or defeating them, whatever KO, whatever term you prefer, after doing that, you can taunt, and if you do that most of the time, then they'll learn to taunt after they kill too. And you know.
Well, what before you go any further on this, the one thing about the Amiibos is you've heard us talk about Disney Infinity, where you buy the separate characters as they're like modeled pieces that you put on the platform. Well, with the Amiibos, you buy these characters, and I'll have you tell which ones are available right now. But you place them on the Wii Pad. Again, that sounds like something for a pet. But anyway, you place them on the Wii Pad, and their data gets transferred into the game and stored back into the Amiibo, sent back to the Amiibo as well once they're trained. So it's like a really cool concept in which you have these little characters you can carry around, or you just have them sitting on your shelf like we were talking about the Disney Infinity, because they're actually pieces of works of art themselves. But what all Amiibos are available?
Well, I actually don't know what all are available. I think all that are available, like, off of, you know, Amazon and eBay and stuff, would be Mario, Pikachu, Peach, the villager from Animal Crossing, Marth, Link, Donkey Kong, Bowser, Rosalina and Luma from Mario Galaxy, and I can't quite remember the rest, but there are 18 of them out right now, Series 1.
And you have how many so far?
4.
Okay.
Oh, Kirby and Yoshi. I forgot to mention those two, because those are two that I have. And Samus. I only mentioned one that I had.
Yeah, you did, Link. Yeah. Now you have Link, Samus, Kirby,
and Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and Donkey Kong. That's right. Also, you mentioned two that you had. So, yeah, I mean, it's really cool that you get these little figures and they interact with the Wii Pad, and then again, their data is stored back on the Amiibo. So you could take these to tournaments, like, say, Nerd Day on the Wii. I'm hoping they allow these. We'll find out.
I'm hoping.
Really, because
mine already can beat me. If they allow them, I'd gladly let mine fight for me. But, I mean, that just kind of ruined the fun, fighting as a person.
Oh, so you just allow them to fight for it. Well, then you wouldn't have the fun. And I guess you're right. Wow.
I do remember reading on the Smash Brothers official Facebook page that a Fox is available as an amiibo.
Okay.
So I read that he almost won a tournament against professional players as a level 50 Fox amiibo. So.
Wow. So the characters, they can act as separate entities or they can assist you. And again, there's just like Disney Infinity. They're cool collectibles to have just sitting on your shelf. So,
and unlike Disney Infinity, like, you don't actually require them. They're just kind of a want. Like, Disney Infinity, for example, like the Star-Lord and Gamora, you'd need those to play the Guardians of the Galaxy set because they have the Guardians of the Galaxy storyline base. But the amiibos are just completely optional, and you don't have to buy them if you don't want to.
Oh, yeah, makes sense, okay.
But I waste my money on them anyway, because anything that looks like a cool collectible has me suckered in.
Yeah, well, they do look cool. Very well-done art on those things.
Yeah.
The Samus is really, I thought that was one of the coolest-looking ones.
Joseph actually has a shinier one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Is quite a bit shinier.
I wonder if like they do with comics with variant covers. I wonder if they could do variant paint jobs on amiibos.
Well, that's what quite a few people have been painting their amiibos.
Oh, well, that's an idea. Well, again,
talking about, I'm not a professional painter though, so I can't do that.
Talking again about Nerd Day or NerdCon, I should say. All the painting workshops that they're gonna be doing, bring your amiibos, get them painted. There we go. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, it looks, again, watching you play, I just can't get the game. It looks like just a bunch of button mashing to me,
basically.
So,
except not as much as other fighting games.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Because Marvel versus Capcom 3, the Fate of Both Worlds, I believe, is the full name.
Mm-hmm.
All I do is sit there and mash, like, every directional input button and every face button.
And it works.
Yeah.
This one, I've seen you. You do have somewhat of a strategy with when you do it, but I just couldn't. I've tried, and I can't. But Disney Infinity, I love it. So we'll be good to go on that one. Well, speaking of which, we just recently got Hero.
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
Yeah. And now, to go with your Baymax, and we've created some fun stuff with that.
Hero's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the things you get in the Disney Infinity video game, it's a toy box aspect of it, or sandbox, like some people call it, you know, where you can build your own world. We built a branch off the world, and we're starting to build San Francisco from the movie, so just for fun. I mean, that's what I like about the creative aspect of that game, plus you can battle, plus you can do other things. It's a well-rounded game. And unlike Smash Brothers, you don't have to battle all the time. Well, oh, you got another video game you want to talk about.
The Binding of Isaac.
The one that they named after you.
Clearly. Yes, because my mom wants to kill me, and so I hopped down into a cellar. Found a whole bunch of monsters, cried at them, and they died.
Yeah, it's The Binding of Isaac. I mean, first of all, I can see why you got attracted to that game, but I was watching you play it, and it's so simplistic. I mean, it's like...
And odd.
That's true, but it's got the gameplay itself is much like
Zelda.
Space Invaders, Zelda, Asteroids. You're just, you know, moving around shooting. The thing is, with that one, you're shooting tears.
Well, so, you're not shooting tears, you're crying at them.
Well, yeah, you're crying at the demons and the piles of poop, and you're gaining... Talk about that game.
Well, actually, there is DLC that I don't have yet that I want. It increases a ton of the crap in the game. But it's basically, you summed it up, it's Zelda, but you use ASD and W to move, and the arrow keys to shoot in whichever direction. You also can use bombs to blow up crap like rocks if they have an item in them, or sometimes, if you know the game really well, you can find out where a secret would be generated. And you can try blowing up a wall. If there's a secret, it'll burst open and you'll find the secret. The game, I don't know how to explain it, it's really weird, because, let's see, the first few enemies I can think of are weirdly deformed flies in them whenever they die.
Mm-hmm.
They burst, and then, like, three flies pop out of them. There are maggots that look really cute, and then whenever they start chasing you, they grow like really huge fangs and start looking scary, and they're really annoying enemies. There are floating heads that just stay in place and shoot their tears at you. But yeah, the weird enemies aren't the only part. You can face, well, you can't. It's not you can, you just do. You face bosses and mini bosses. So I'll get on to the mini bosses first. You fight the seven deadly sins for those. So there's a shop where you can buy items. Sometimes you'll find greed spawning there, but most of the time it's other rooms separate. Like, every dungeon is randomly generated, so it could just be a random room you come across. And let's see, there's Wrath, who summons a whole bunch of bombs, and he's like Bomberman. Gluttony, who opens his stomach and like a giant laser flies out. Pride, who summons a whole bunch of bombs, not like Wrath, because he doesn't push them at you, he just like makes it rain bombs. Lust, who just chases really fast after you. I can't think of the other one for the life of me. Hold on. I gotta think back based on the seven deadly sins.
What?
SpongeBob, Lust, Sandy, Pride, Mr. Krabs, Greed, Squidward, Wrath, Patrick, Sloth. I can't think of who would be Gluttony. I don't remember.
I never knew that.
It's weird.
All right, so it's based on the seven deadly sins. So let's recap this. Lust. Is that one of them?
Yeah, chases after you and gives you, like, a poison touch as a reward.
Gluttony?
He just spawns a bomb, a soul heart, and or heart.
Greed?
And, oh, wait, he fires a laser at you. Greed, he, when every time you hit him, money pops out, and he summons enemies to attack you.
Sloth?
He shoots green bombs at you of, like, vomit and...
Wrath?
Bomberman.
Envy?
Envy, that's who it was. I think he's the one that summons a whole bunch of bombs, actually. No. It is Pride that summons the bombs and that rain down on you. Envy, you shoot him, and then he pops into two of himself. You shoot that head, it pops into two of itself, et cetera, et cetera, until there's, like, 20 of them flying around. Well, we covered the other ones earlier.
Okay, so there we go. That's it. That's how you go. And
how did I not think of Envy? He's the main one. He's the most common you come across.
Well, now you know it. And so Binding of Isaac, again, it is so bizarre. And you got other characters besides Isaac to play with.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Eve. You have, I don't remember the abilities names. I remember Deadbird, which you, every time you get hit, a bird comes out and tries killing, well, helps kill stuff for you.
Nice.
And then whenever you're down to half a heart left, you turn into a giant demon version of yourself and do, like, everything is increased. Every stat is increased. Let's see, I don't know how to pronounce that name.
Magdalene?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, that's from the Bible.
Yeah, I know, they're all from the Bible. They, let's see, she has a heart that you... Well, you start off with a heart that you eat, and it's called a yum heart, and it gives you one heart back every time you use it. However, she has slower speed. Kane, I don't know, I don't remember what he does. He has an eye patch. That's all I remember. I think there are hints as to, like, what they're referenced to, because Eve, you get by making two deals with... Oh, yeah, you make deals with the devil in the game. You sacrifice, like, if you have four hearts... You could be taken down to two in exchange for a satanic cross, which gives you the ability called Brimstone, and you charge up a giant laser and shoot it, and it's really powerful. So, Eve, you get by making two deals with the devil in one playthrough.
Magdalene.
Yeah, you get seven hearts in one run, so one playthrough, basically. Cain, you get 55 coins without spending any. And one playthrough. Oh, Judas. You beat by beating the game the second time. He has a fez.
Really?
Yeah. He has two hearts, and whenever he gets down to half... No. He has an item. I don't remember what it's called. It's like a book of something. And you do... I think you do a lot more damage, and your eyes are, like, gone. And you, like, cry blood.
Wow.
That's what the item does.
Again, this is a very bizarre, weird game. And it's definitely... I don't know. Again, I could probably sit down and play it and would probably have a blast, but I don't want to because I think I'd become addicted to this game.
I had to mention one more thing.
Oh.
The DLC has, I don't remember how you unlock him, but it has Samson in it.
Oh.
He's like got a lot more power than the other characters. That's all I remember.
Now, how long has this game been out? Do you know?
Probably somewhere since like 2011.
Oh, okay.
I think it's been around for quite a while, but there was just recently a remake called The Binding of Isaac Rebirth made. It's basically Game of the Year version because it has the DLC in it, along with new enemies that weren't in the Wrath of the Lamb DLC for the original, and it's pixelated instead.
Yeah. Well, this one, it's the graphics on this one, it's not the greatest graphics in the world, but that doesn't make it any difference.
It's so. Basically just a Flash game that you'd find on Newgrounds, because that's what the Edmund Miller, something like that. He originally started out like with the demo on Newgrounds, and then he, you know, sold it on Steam through the green light.
All right. Well, that's that Binding of Isaac game, and Isaac is enjoying it, and again, it's just...
I'm enjoying it because it's one of those games you enjoy offline or online, even with friends. Well, you can't play it multiplayer, so, like, if you can play it... Let's say the internet goes out for one day because, like, a storm or something happens that cuts out the internet. You can play this, and it will keep you entertained for quite the while.
Yeah.
I have a few games like that.
And that's definitely one of those that's fun to play online, fun to off, and that's the point of some video games, is you need to be able to have that non-online play, not just because if the cable goes out, but just because it's something to do once in a while.
Yep.
I guess that's about all we got to talk about on this time around on the podcast. Next time around, we're going to have some information from, I'm sure, Tim, Eric, those guys will be donating some stuff. We'll see what happens.
The Tim and Eric show.
Awesome. Great job.
Yeah, the Tim and Eric Austin show.
Great job.
I never liked that show.
Really? Oh, that's funny. You missed a good one. Yeah. Anyway, so I guess that wraps up this Nerd Up podcast this time around. I guess we got to get ready for the NerdCon, and we'll try to get another one next week. Again, like I said, hoping the other guys contribute something during this holiday season. And again, back on, when the holidays, we'll get back online and get everybody yakking at each other again. So that's this week. I'm Guilty Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson.
And stay nerdy. Nerd Up Podcast.
www.gilwilson.com. If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.